Welcome to another edition of Brews and Cruise. I am your host, Chris Jacobson, and I am here with a band. This is my first band here, and they are going to introduce themselves here in just a moment. But I have the privilege of actually having one of my former students here as well from 10 years ago, so that's kind of cool. But gentlemen, do you want to introduce yourselves and tell us who you are, I guess?
Yeah, I'm Hunter Russo. I'm in a band with my little brother, Dalton Russo. I've been playing music for quite some time, and it's really about it. Pretty simple, so.
Yeah, I'm Dalton Russo. I'm his brother. I've been playing music since I was like 10 years old, and it's a big part of my life.
Cool. So. And the band's name is?
Dying Breed.
Dying Breed. Now, I knew that you were starting to play music right around when I was teaching you 10 years ago. You told me you learned how to play the guitar yourself.
Yep.
Kind of, I don't know how you self-teach yourself other than YouTube.
That's basically what it was YouTube.
Okay.
Yeah. Just hours and hours of YouTube, yeah.
And then Hunter, did you self-teach yourself as well, or?
Yep.
I taught him a little bit, too.
Okay.
Yeah, a little
so
bit.
This is a band with two brothers, but there's also another member who couldn't be here tonight, your singer, is that correct?
Yep.
And his name is?
Landon Nichols.
Okay. Well, today, we actually, since we had both of you, we have two different drinks we're going to have. One of you, Hunter, requested Captain and Coke.
Yep.
And Dalton sent me on a wild goose chase for some Buffalo Trace, not letting me know that it was pretty difficult to get. So we're going to pour these bad boys. And I don't know how you guys like to do your stuff. I'm going to first try mine with, I'm going to do it with just straight
up. I usually just do ice on ice.
Do yours, do you put yours on the rocks? Cool. Then I'm going to do mine straight up to see the taste first. And then you can just pour your own, Hunter. Just let her rip. I'll try to undo this stuff. Now, I got to tell you, I was not sure that I was going to get this tonight. And actually, a place in town hooked us up quite well to get this Buffalo Trace tonight. And I got to give a shout out to Fifth Street Liquor. Jen Corcoran's the owner there. And they had one bottle. And it's literally the only bottle in Winona. And I know that because I called every place. And this place I called said it was actually reserved. So they sent me in a little favor. And they allowed me to get this last bottle. And I didn't realize how rare it was. Dalton, there you go. You pour what you want. And so I'm calling around. I was just showing a house. Actually, funny story, Dalton. I was showing a house to David Lee.
Oh, for real?
Up in Wabasha, yes. And so the funny thing about that is I was calling on the way home. I'm like, you know what? Let me just call every liquor store and just see if we're going to if I can acquire this. And so I did. I called Fifth Street Liquor, called them, and the girl that I actually know, Danny Boo, shout out to Danny Boo. She goes, yeah, we have one, but it's actually reserved for someone. And I'm like, any chance I can get that? I do a podcast, and she knows I do this podcast. And I'm like, is there any chance I can get this? And she's like, well, let me see. And I just stopped in there because my second choice was Traveler by Chris Stapleton. And I'm like, what better, you know, one to have than Traveler by Chris Stapleton because you guys are in a band. Yep. So I'm like, oh, that'd be a great second. And I didn't tell you until you got here about this. Yep. But anyways, Fifth Street Liquor hooked me up and hooked us up for some Buffalo Trace. So guys, cheers.
Yep.
Cheers to everyone here. And I got to try this. If it's that good, I got to see. It's not even expensive.
It's my favorite, man.
That's pretty smooth.
It is smooth.
Next one I'm going to have is going to have some rocks in it. So thank you again, Fifth Street Liquor, for hooking me up. You were the only one that had the bottle in town, and now it is secure at Brews and Cruise Podcast at the moment.
All thanks to me, man. You're welcome.
Thanks to you sending me out on a wild goose chase, yes. So I want to dive into your backgrounds. I know not as much, you know, I know a lot about you, Dalton, but I don't know much about Hunter because I think you're probably much younger than me. Mm-hmm. You're obviously way younger than me since I taught you 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So Hunter, what's your background? I know you're from Winona or the Rolling Stone Winona area. Yep. What's your background? Because I know you're also in the military too and all that kind of stuff. So if you want to just delve into a little bit about yourself, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. So, I've been in the Army for about going on 7 years now.
Okay.
I possibly have a year left. Might reenlist. I don't know. But
busy question with for that. You on that.
Yep.
Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off.
You're good.
What does it mean? Like, I might reenlist. What would that sign you up for? Or what would that might entail?
So it's just more, like I could do like 3 more years, added on to what I've already done.
Sure.
But what's kind of holding me back is I got a wife and 2 kids.
Yep.
You know, time doesn't slow down. The boys are growing up, and I'm getting older. My body's getting worn out, so I'm on the fence about it. I want to get another deployment. I've had one. I want another one. The money's good. The experience is good. But I don't know. I mean, I'm just kind of a rock in a hard place right now about it. I got a year to decide on that. So I'm just going to think long and hard about it. We'll see.
We'll see
how that goes.
Where was your first deployment at?
It was in Africa. Djibouti, okay. Africa. I was there for 9 months. I was gone for 11 in total, but I was in country for 9.
Sure. Is there a lot of downtime with that, or are you every day new mission, something to do? Or is there a lot of downtime where you get to actually go explore Africa?
So unfortunately, it was during COVID.
Oh,
so we weren't able to get out and see, you know, the town of Djibouti. But it was pretty much we'd go 10 days on straight of days or nights, 12-hour shifts, do the 12-hour shift, hit the gym after, go to bed at like 6 o'clock, be up at 3 a.m. again.
Wow.
For 10 days straight. Then we'd get like 4 to 5 days off.
Okay.
We'd be able to go get a couple drinks or, you know, work out, play some football on the turf field. So it was pretty mellow tempo. It was a good first deployment.
Do the locals there receive American soldiers well, or are they kind of on ease, like, or on edge? Like, what's going on?
It's kind of a mixed batch. Like there'll be times we'd be driving, convoying back to one base, you know, they'd give us a middle finger, whatever. And,
of course,
you know, they'd be asking for water and stuff like that. But, a lot of them who would come on base and work for us, for the government, I mean, they were the most hardworking individuals I've ever met in my life. Very kind, very respectful to us. And I mean, they were just a lot of respect for those workers. I mean, they were walking miles.
Sure.
To come.
They walked miles to come to work.
Walk, yeah.
So like when dad and mom said, oh, I had to walk 2 miles up a hill and back down a hill and to go to school and no shoes and in the winter, that was actually true there.
Yeah.
They had to walk to work.
Yeah. So a lot of respect for them. That really opened my eyes up quite a bit.
So question then, is Djibouti a big city? I don't know.
Not too big. I would say maybe the size of Winona, a little smaller.
Okay.
Somewhere around there. I don't know too much on that, but.
Is it modernized?
No.
No. So no, when you're going to get a drink, is it like in a little shack on the side of a road?
It was on post. Okay. On a military post. So it was like a little bar there. But yeah, I mean, you're seeing people and families living in shacks with tarps and boards holding it up.
Okay.
You know, it was very, very eye-opening on how spoiled we are here.
Yeah.
You know, and how people take it for granted here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wish a lot of people could go see that so they would understand how much and how good we have it in the United States.
Absolutely.
So
what got you wanting to go into the military field or into the, you know, military just in general? My wife, she was in it back in like 2006, 7, 8, 9 area, and she was in the National Guard. What branch were you in?
The National Guard.
National Guard.
Army, yep.
So what got you into that then?
I mean, growing up, I always, you know, like Halloween, I would dress up as an Army guy, you mm-hmm. know. I would run around playing with guns and stuff and, you know, pretending I was on mission. So I always kind of had, like, I wanted to do it. I was on the fence about it. I was going to go join the Marines. I'm glad I didn't do that. So I went the Army route. But I just, you know, it wasn't for the money. It wasn't for the college. It was literally to serve my country.
Sure.
I do love America with pride. And,
yeah.
I just, you know, I'm glad I did it. If I didn't join the military, I wouldn't be where I'm at today.
Sure.
No chance. I mean, it's built me up to the man I am today. That's awesome. Building blocks. So
yeah, my brother-in-law, he was in the military as well. A good friend of mine, his name is Corey. He was in the military as well. So we respect the military quite a bit here on this podcast, especially myself being, I have very close friends with that. Knowing that you were in it too is awesome as well. So then you moved back here and now you're like, hey, we're going to start up a band.
Yeah, Dalton and I grew up, you know, playing music. I mean, God, I was listening to AC/DC and Def Leppard.
It was like
back before you even know who it was.
Yeah, it was like we got our first drum set when I was in third grade, so Hunter would have been sixth grade.
Yeah,
and then it just started from there. My dad was a musician too, so like,
oh really?
It all kind of just like, you know, tied into that. You know,
good old Todd was a musician.
Yeah,
man.
Oh yeah, okay. I remember sitting down stairs in the basement. We called the hunting room. And he pulled out the Fender Stratocaster, beautiful guitar. And he would play these songs, and I would just be like, you know, I'd be drawn in on it, and I would pay so much attention to it. And that kind of, you know, lit the fire a little bit. And then listening to AC/DC and, you know, Scorpions and Def Leppard. And then, like you said, we got that first act drum set, a cheap one, but.
Still use it today.
I mean, God.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. That was what we played at the Battle of the Bands.
Yeah, I mean, we beat the snot out of that thing. And put holes in the skins, the cymbals. That's how much we played. I mean, hours downstairs.
Yeah, we'd turn on the music and, like, we'd always have, like, surround sound or whatever downstairs in the basement. And then we would just listen to the songs and just play them best we could for, like 3-4 hours a day.
That's awesome.
Just crazy amount of time.
Yep.
Well, now, Dalton, I want to focus on you. I want a little bit of background about you for the audience because I know a lot about your background.
Okay.
But I don't know what happened after high school because you went to Hope and you were in my first class that I ever had. And then where'd you do after high school and what are you doing now?
Sure. I graduated high school during COVID. So that was weird. You know,
beautiful time.
Yeah, it was all online classes, you know, it wasn't really school. We, you know, getting off at 1 o'clock and just doing whatever we wanted to. But then after that, I decided to go to college at Concordia St. Paul.
Okay.
I only went for one semester because I was paying a lot of money and it was during COVID. And I was like, man, what am I doing? I'm just going into debt, you know? And I mean, it was fun and stuff like that, but I wasn't going anywhere. So I just came back home and worked at Riverside, where I'm still working now. But
okay.
Yeah, I decided I didn't want to lose money. I wanted to make money. So that's what I'm doing right now.
Sure. What do you do at Riverside then?
So I'm a manufacturer. We build these temperature chambers, heat and cool things like to extreme temperatures.
Mm-hmm.
So I work a lot with refrigerants and torches and brazing, stuff like that, soldering stuff. And a lot of assembly work too, but I'm mostly doing the brazing side of it. So
very nice.
It's pretty fun. I love doing it. So,
well, I remember when you were in high school and we had to go do those shut-in visits.
Yep.
I remember you were talking about and your hair was half of that at that point. I remember,
I'm pretty sure it was buzzed or something.
You were talking about music and all that. I said, you ever think about going to tech college to do like, you know, audio engineering or something like that? And, you know, the thing is I've learned over these last 10 years of teaching kids, you know, when you were that age, I teach them like, hey, the 4-year college is one route to go, but there's other routes to go as well that won't sink you into debt as well.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is now I teach them what it's like to have interest and what that means in math class and let them know those kinds of things like this is what that means and here's what happens if you choose that. But then I also say, you know, I know, you know, if, you know, plumbing, electrician, I know what they make too.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, you know, I know what I pay those people per hour. It's like $100 an hour. So don't think the trades are a bad thing to get into because you can make a lot of money. You don't always have to do a 4-year college. So I do now teach that to kids when they're thinking about that, just to get them on the mindset into high school. Like, if you want to do a 4-year, that's awesome. If you want to do a tech college, that's fine too.
Yeah.
But nowadays, you can learn so much just on the internet. I mean, come to this podcast, I learned it on the internet.
Right.
I didn't go to school for anything other than that I was a teacher, and that was what I went to school for, plus real estate.
Yep.
So that's where I'm at. So then you went, and now you're working, and what are you up to? I know you're in the military, obviously, we talked about. What else do you do then for work, that is?
Yeah, so I do security at Winona Health. I'm in charge of the security team there.
Okay.
Been doing that for, I think I'm going on 4 years now.
Sure.
So
my wife used to work there. I remember watching the person have to walk around the campus. I used to go eat lunch with her there at the cafeteria. And I remember watching those people do the patrols around and make the rounds. So that's what you're up to now as well.
Yep.
Kind of fits along with the whole military thing, I think, doing some.
Yeah, I enjoy it. I enjoy it. I like it how you just never know what you're going to deal with.
Sure.
Anything can walk through those doors.
Well, I suppose, you know, you hit something like a Saturday night and some crazy person coming through.
Yep.
Any of those?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
A lot. Can you tell them? I can't remember if you can tell some of them.
Probably not.
Okay.
A lot. I have had a wild ride there. I've seen some stuff. Close calls, and I love it. I'm an adrenaline junkie. I like it when stuff gets intense.
So. I bet it makes your shift go by faster.
Oh, it does. It cruises by.
Are you at the late night then?
I'm day shift, 6 a.m. to 2 p.m., Monday through Friday.
Oh, you can't see that much crazy, can you?
Some days, man.
Really?
Some days it's wild.
I feel like the night shift, especially on a Friday or Saturday, you see some crazy stuff going on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, usually after bar close.
Yeah, detoxing and all that crazy.
Yeah, people crawling in, yeah.
Okay, so you can't tell the stories, and that's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, okay, I want to get into this whole... You guys, I didn't even know you played instruments. I knew he did, but that's because I know you better a little bit. But how did you guys decide, hey, we're going to form a band together? Are you just, hey, we love this. Why are we not doing this?
I mean, for me, it's been like when we would play the music while I'm playing the instrument, right? Like we'd play along with Def Leppard or Scorpions or AC/DC, whoever.
Yeah, whatever it was. We just wanted to play.
But, you know, you'd be feeling the music. Feel from your head to your toes, and then I would just envision myself, you know, playing in front of a crowd.
Yeah.
You know, and stuff like that.
It's goosebumps, like, right there. That's goosebumps. Yeah.
So, like, I mean, that was kind of what started it for me. And then just like, you know, my mom and dad always said, well, you guys are just pretty musically talented, and we're just like, you know, whatever. But then, you know, we started playing together more, him and I, and like he did the guitar, did the drums, and I did guitar with them, and then back to the drums. But I don't know, it was just that, like, you know, maybe we do have a chance to get big. Maybe. Sure. Are we just doing it for fun because we love it? Yeah. But, I mean, the opportunity is there, and, I mean, we just got to jump on it and stuff like that.
I mean, you know, I mean, this is a hobby for me right now. And I'm sure playing is a hobby for you currently at the moment, but you never know when it can start monetizing and making money.
Right.
So that brings me to the next question. Have you guys done gigs before?
We've done, so we had an older band.
What was that called?
That was called White Walls.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I think you were in high school at that point.
Yeah, I was in my senior year. Yeah. And so, yeah, it was me and Hunter starting off at home. We both started with drums. And then I started playing guitar, and then Hunter eventually came over to play the guitar too. So him and I were playing the guitar together. And then our neighbor across the street, actually, he was getting into music too. His name's Kale, and he has his own band right now too, named Horizon. I'm sure you know them. They played at Battle of the Bands, but last band to play. But so like Kale joined us too. Then he was playing guitar. Then Hunter went back on drums. And then from there, we kind of just still had, you know, us three playing together or whatever. And then we transitioned Hunter back to guitar, and then Kale went to drums, actually. So then it was me and Hunter on guitar, and then Kale on drums. And then we were playing parades and stuff like that. And then, that was fun. And then we found a bass player, too, eventually. And then we found Landon, so...
So now you guys are a three-piece band.
Yeah, we separated our ways with Kale, and then our old bass player like moved out of town, so now it's just us three.
So there's a little more to that.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, the whole thing with Kale and whatever, we played in the Rolling Stone Days Parade, and did we play? We didn't play in Good View.
We did play in Good View Days.
We played in Good View Days. And then we did like this concert in Rolling Stone at the old school.
Yep.
And it was
that on Facebook.
Yep. Yeah, I was like, I was singing. I'm not a good singer. Dalton was singing. Oh, yeah, he's not a good singer.
Yeah, that's right.
And then the drummer was singing. I mean, the music was decent, but the vocals weren't there. And we're like, we need to find a lead singer. I'm like, bad. And so then we got this bass player in who's pretty good at bass. And he worked at Menards. And he heard this guy singing. It was a Doors song. I don't know which.
It was... Backdoor Man.
It was Backdoor Man, the one we played at the Battle of the Bands.
Okay.
And he hears him singing the song, our bass player at the time, and he goes up to him and was like, hey, do you want to be in a band? And he's like, yeah, like I've always wanted to be in a band. And so we brought him, we told him to meet at the old school. We're going to run through a song and we'll see if, you know, you'll fit in. And we did Can't You See by Marshall Tucker Band, which is a really good song.
Great song.
So like Dalton and I played through it, and then Landon came up to the mic and he started singing it. And I'm at one end of the stage and Dalton's at the other end of the stage. And I just remember looking across at Dalton and I was like, this is it.
That's it.
This is the missing piece to the music that we like playing. And I mean, that's how we found Landon. And now we've been buddies for what, 5 years now?
Yeah, 5-6 years, yeah.
So when I hear the band, The White Walls was the previous one.
Yep. Yep.
The music I think with that, and I don't know what your music was, and I assume it's similar to what you're playing now. When I think of The White Walls, I'm thinking of 50s, 60s, yeah, classical
that's
rock.
That's what everybody says, because okay, they think of the white wall wheels or whatever.
Yep, yeah, that's exactly. Yeah. I mean, if you look at the Thunderbird, that's literally right behind you, the white one.
Yeah.
That one has white wall wheels on it. Yep. So I think of kind of 50s, 60s, classic rock, Elvis style. So it maybe is good that you went away from that, because from what I heard at the Battle of the Bands, that was not the music you were playing.
Yeah, and it was white walls with a Z too. You can't forget that part.
Okay.
It was, we all hated the name.
Yeah, we all hated it.
It was, but you know, that got the motor running.
Right, yeah. You know, and then trial and error.
You know, we got that missing piece landed. I mean, he's phenomenal at singing.
Yeah,
he's hitting, you know, Dream On, right? The high part by Steven Tyler. He nails that.
Sure.
And, you know, with Landon, too, so, like, yeah, we got Landon, and then, like, my music variety was very closed. Like, at the time, I was listening to Led Zeppelin very hard. Like, that's all I listened to.
Yeah.
But when Landon came in, he opened my eyes to, like, all this new music that I'd never even heard of. Like, I'd never even heard of 90s grunge before. And then he showed me, like, Alice in Chains and Pearl Jam. I'm like, man, what was I doing? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I finally figured out, like, now I'm listening to all kinds of music because of him. So he definitely, like, opened my eyes to all this kind of music. So that was pretty cool, too.
Sure. Yep. That's awesome, because you got to have a whole bunch of variety, because, you know, there's a lot of songs out there. Now, a question I do have for you, do you have your own songs, originals?
That's all we do.
That's all you do?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. Anybody that hangs out with me when I watch a band, I go, that's cute, they can play that song, so can everybody else.
Yeah, yep. Exactly.
That's nice. I mean, everyone plays a Journey song or Chicago song or, you know, something like that.
Yep.
I'm like, you play your own song, you write your own song. Now I'm listening, because I've never heard that, and now I got some respect for you, because I know it takes not only writing the music, but you also got to write the lyrics at some point and then practice it. And you've never heard the song before because you created it.
Right. Yep.
You've heard all these other songs for 40 years-ish. Yeah. Now you have to create your own. So that's awesome. Have you made an album?
We haven't.
Or recorded a song at all?
So
we've recorded quite a bit.
Yeah. Okay. We haven't professionally recorded anything. We tried to a couple of times just by ourselves, but it never worked out. But when I was in high school, I actually had to do a project, and I did write an album, and it was just me. Like, I just did all the instruments and stuff like that, too. And then with that technology that I used, we tried to do it ourselves, but it just didn't work out because there were so many of us, and it was kind of hard to coordinate everybody to record that.
Sure,
you know.
So now when you get your band, you got three guys, do you have to schedule time? Like, guys, we got to get together this time, time. Like, this is like practice for a sport.
Yep.
Is it the same thing?
Yep. Yeah, it's
Go ahead.
Like, it's real hard, like, for me, you know, I got two kids and stuff and work, and so it's really hard to schedule around that. But I mean, we make it work, especially before the Battle of the Bands. We set dates.
Sure.
But I mean, we could be the one time we haven't played for what, 4 months?
Yep.
And we come back together and we wrote two full songs in a matter of 2 hours.
Just like getting back on a bicycle or what?
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yep. And we don't skip a beat. Yep. You know, it's just, it's unreal. We have to schedule it with how busy our lives are. It's annoying, but it's also like, it's nice that, you know.
But when you're together, you're like, this is just, it's almost like freedom.
It's therapy.
Awesome. Yeah, yeah, it's just like when I get together with someone here, like tonight, I'm like, this is just, it's nice. It doesn't feel like work. It's just like, it's like a hobby. It's like going to shoot baskets, play sports, whatever is that person saying it doesn't. It's not like, oh gosh, I gotta go do this tonight. No, you're like, I get to go do that tonight. That's amazing.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Yep.
So how do you now I got a whole bunch of questions from there. How do you even start writing a song? Like, where does it start? Does it start with the beat, the melody, and then the lyrics, or vice versa?
Yeah, we usually start off with like, I just like mess around on my guitar or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I usually come up with some sort of riff or some chords or something. And then I usually send it to Landon via, you know, messages or whatever. And then he tells me if he likes it or not. If he doesn't like it, I just like throw it on my phone and just have it for whenever.
Yeah.
And then when he does like something, we'll be like, okay, next time we hang out, we're going to work on that. And then vice versa with Landon too, because Landon also plays guitar as well. So he sends me stuff. I'm like, yeah, dude, I can already hear, you know, like the other guitar part, the drums coming in and everything like that. So yeah, that's how we do it. We just start with the guitar first, and then Landon usually writes lyrics, and then Hunter comes in with the drums.
Okay, so your guitar, your drums, yep. And then Landon is vocals.
Yep.
So it's just literally two instruments and vocals. Is there anything else behind it? Is there any sort of piano beat, anything like that?
No, man, it's just us. It's raw power, just us three, man. That's what we do.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. You
know. I didn't even, that's the thing. I'm like, how do you even start writing a song? I don't even know how you start writing a song at all. I'm
just like, I mean, usually, like, when we're together, like, we'll come in with an idea of what we want to do. But, like, Dalton said, it's just him messing around with, like, a mean riff.
Yeah.
And then I'll come in with the beat, and then Landon will usually just start spitting lyrics, and then we'll get halfway there, and it's like, all right, let's stop, let's start it again. Then that's when we make, like, you know, the bridges and sure. You know, the whole puzzle comes together, and then we have a song.
Okay.
But it's literally just messing around and
just jamming out,
you know,
having,
like,
a good time, and then
ideas floating.
Yep.
You know, like, you know, I'll be like to Dalton, like, hey, like, you know, solo this way, and he'll be like, well, Hunter, play this drum beat this way. And we'll help each other out, and we'll write these songs. Yeah.
So many pieces coming together with it. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So, you know, the one thing I've always wondered is, I always see, you know, someone goes, oh, well, this drummer started playing with this band at this point in time.
Yeah.
Is it that easy just to pick up and start playing with another band, or does it take a little bit of time, but it's, you know, it's still playing the guitar, playing the drums, one or the other,
mm-hmm.
and just getting to know their stuff? Because, you know, there's a lot of trivia questions that come and says, oh, who filled in with Journey at this time, or who filled in with Metallica at this time? And I'm like, I didn't know that they had a whole bunch of people. I just figured it was the same crew of guys all the time. But it seems like throughout the years, someone left the band, and now all of a sudden someone new stepped in.
Yeah.
Is it really that easy to step in, or is it kind of tough?
I'd say, like, with, like, drums or guitar, it's pretty easy. But, like, with a new singer, it's a lot harder. Like, if you look at, like, any famous band out there, like Van Halen, for instance, you know, they had David Lee Roth for, you know, some years or whatever it was.
And sure.
They went over to Sammy Hagar, and, like, you know, I'm surprised they were still good after that, because I'm not a big fan of Sammy Hagar. But, like, I mean, like, they still were super famous, but, like, with other, like, instruments, as in, like, bass, drums, guitar, like, I feel like it's pretty easy. You just got to, like, have the chemistry and know your music, because no one wants to sit there and teach you how to play. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
So. Yeah. Yeah,
and I assume when you're at that level, it's pretty simple to pick up probably someone else's stuff, especially when you're a big time singer, player, whatever it is.
Right.
Yeah. So that's really that's kind of really neat that you can actually just pick up and do that. And it sounds like if you learn how to play yourself, it's maybe somewhat easier for certain people to do that.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So you've never recorded a song professionally?
No, never.
We've looked into it. I mean,
what would it take? Even I don't even know.
I mean, I'll be honest, it's like, it's pretty expensive to record a single.
Really?
I mean, what? It was like 600 to 1,000.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's mastered, though. That's like perfect. Like what you would hear on Spotify, you know what I mean?
Ooh.
So,
you guys need to get the funding, because $600 to $1,000 and it's professionally done?
I mean, it's like, you know, mastered. Like, it's going to sound pristine. And
is there one song, if you're like, This is the one song we would record because we know it so well?
Dude, I don't even know.
You don't even know.
We got
so many good ones. Yeah, we got so many good ones. I mean,
it was the Battle of the Bands too. Like, we're deciding, like, the first one we did, Battle of the Bands, that was an original.
Yeah.
Okay.
We wrote that, what, 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Sure.
And then we redid it into how we played it that night.
Yep.
And then the second one was just Backdoor Man. We covered by the Doors, but we put our own twist on it.
Sure. Okay.
And that's what we normally do with covers too, is like you said, you go to a live band, it's always like, oh, it's Journey.
Like Freebird.
Yeah. Freebird. You know,
Freebird!
Yeah. It's like yes. Any of those songs, and like, you know, you hear them a million times, so why wouldn't you, like, as a band, take it and make it your own and make it sound cooler and add a little bit of stuff to it, so, you know, people aren't sitting there like, oh, I heard this song 1,000 times.
Yeah.
Right,
add
yeah.
A little spice to it.
Do you need some more?
Dude, I'll take some more, dude.
You can have as much as you want.
Yeah, oh, I'm probably gonna
you don't have to ask. Just take it. I'm sorry. It's so far away. By the way, Fifth Street Liquor hooking us up with the Old Buffalo Trace. Shout out again.
I'll have to go in there like every week and see if they have it.
I just call in. Just call in. Ask for Danny Boo or okay. Jen. Jen's the owner. Danny Boo is the one that I know, and she's the one that answered today. But yeah, have some. Have some. That's what it's here for.
Sweet, man.
It's for the podcast. Yeah, help yourself. So you guys have a... So if you had to pick one song, you're like, hey, this is the one we have to play for everyone. What's it called? What's the title of it?
So, like, the one we played at Battle of the Bands is probably, like, one of my favorite songs. It's called Yang.
There's more ice, too, if you needed some.
Yeah. And Yang's, like, there's a bit of backstory to that song.
It's called Yang?
Yang, yeah.
Okay.
So there was one of Lynn's friends died, and it's dedicated to that,
okay.
that guy. So, but it's, like... The lyrics are amazing. The guitars are amazing. When we first wrote it, it was just me and Hunter on guitar. And then when Hunter went back to drums, Hunter put a drum beat to it. And we always thought that song was never going to have drums in it, but Hunter added drums to it, which is pretty cool.
Is it fun to, like, for you, Hunter, is it fun to listen to a song and be like, I can add some beats to this with the drum?
Oh, like, yeah.
Check this out.
Yeah, like when, you know, sometimes we'll do it to where it's just Dalton and Landon playing and, I mean, my mind is going a million miles an hour.
Yeah.
I'm thinking if we could add this, we could do this, and stuff like that. But yeah, I like the challenge of it. I tend to play with, like, John Bonham, played okay. with Jimmy Page. That's yeah. kind of, like, my kind of style.
And the only Jimmy Page song I know is the one from Godzilla in, like, 98. It was with him and P. Diddy or Puff Daddy is called Come With Me.
Oh, I don't even know.
And
song,
he's
dude.
The one, I think, playing the music in the background.
Okay.
Even
okay.
Well, like, yeah, Led Zeppelin, John Bonham, Jimmy Page, you know? And so, like Hunter said, like, he plays like they do, which is, so usually with a drummer, you just, you know, you keep a beat or whatever. But since it's just us three right now, Hunter plays drums with me. Like, he plays with my playing, if that makes sense. Because, like, sure. when I'm soloing and stuff, we don't have a rhythm guitarist or a bass player, so there's no one to keep that beat and, like, make it sound good. But Hunter plays with me and, like, almost the same time as I'm playing the notes, so it sounds like there's, like, some sort of, like, backup stuff to it.
Yeah.
Do you think it has to do with you guys being brothers, or do you think anyone can kind of mesh like that?
I think it's brothers, man. I've never played with a drummer that could play like Hunter.
Really?
Yep.
That's awesome, man. Yep. That's really cool having a brother that you can do those kinds of things with.
Yep,
now, 100%. Is Jake musically talented at all?
He tried.
Yeah, he tried. Yeah.
Poor he tried. Jake. I hope he's listening to this right now.
I hope so, too.
Poor
but
guy.
He would. I
he
remember,
said he was going to, yeah.
What did he try to do?
He was into, like, that Green Day. You know,
oh,
he had a band,
okay,
too.
Okay.
He had a band, too.
He was in a band, yeah. I think it was, like, Dylan Brugger and
Alex Budenhoff.
Budenhoff.
Yep. Okay.
They had a little band going. But, like, he would play, like, you know, the Green Day stuff. I remember him. He'd
Blink 182.
Yeah, he would blare it in his room.
That was our time because Jake was, like, a couple years younger than me.
Yeah.
That came – Blink 182 was pretty cool back in about 98, 99, and Green Day mid-90s, so that makes sense.
Yep.
Hey, actually, I was just talking to someone. He's like, oh, Green Day. I like Green Day. And I listened to him, like, yeah, I remember my buddy Brett Hurley. He had the album, and I remember listening to some of those songs. So, yeah.
See, it's funny because if Landon was here right now, he'd just be talking a lot of crap about Green Day and Blink 182.
Yeah.
Because he hates that.
What does he not like about it? Like, okay,
oh, man,
so what's his favorite then?
Favorite band, right? So him and I are kind of on a old country run right now. I've been listening to a lot of Waylon Jennings and Willie Nelson and stuff like that. So we're kind of, you know, I mean, he's all over the place. He sends me all kind of music, but yeah, he's into that old country, that outlaw country kind of stuff.
Okay.
Merle Haggard and stuff like that.
Do you guys have a certain band that you like? Hunter, do you have a band that's like, yeah, this is my favorite, or is it just a ton of them?
Man, I've been all over. I know Def Leppard was one of my all-time favorites. Just the guitarist, The drummer, the one-arm drummer. I mean, a lot of respect for him.
There's a one-arm drummer?
Yeah, he has one arm.
No way.
Yeah, yeah, pretty cool.
I gotta look into that then.
But just like the music, like their song Hysteria, for example, it has so many guitar layers in it. Like there's only two guitars playing, but it sounds like there's four.
Yeah, yep.
So it's very like musically like talented. And then, I mean, Led Zeppelin too, like Robert Plant is just a musical genius. Jimmy Page is a musical genius. Oh, yeah. They're a different style of playing. So I kind of hop all over. I was on Alice in Chains for a while.
Okay.
Yeah.
To me, those sound like hardcore type rock.
Yeah.
And like, you're talking about like old country.
Yeah. Well, like, I mean, like, I wouldn't say like Waylon Jennings or like Willie Nelson is my favorite, but that's just what I'm listening to right now.
Okay.
What my favorite is, I got like top three is probably like Zeppelin, Van Halen, and The Doors. Okay. Right now, I love The Doors. A lot of people don't like them, but I love them.
I think enough people liked them in general, I think they're fine. Yeah. What would be your top three then, Hunter?
Golly, I'm probably Def Leppard, Led Zeppelin. My third one, I don't know.
Creed, bro.
No, not Creed.
I love Creed.
Can you take me higher?
Yeah, not Creed.
I love Creed, man.
I hope my sound guy can make that sound way better than what I just did.
Auto-tune, yeah.
Okay, so you can think about your third. I don't know. But anyways, one person that I really like guitar-wise, and this is going off the guitar, is John Mayer. I'm a huge John Mayer fan. You guys may be like, oh, God, John Mayer. But I think he's great on the guitar.
He's amazing.
He has awesome solos that I'm not huge into, like, rock music. So, like, what you guys play, not my first preference. But I will listen to it no matter what. But I do have a respect for how John Mayer plays guitar. It is way more... I would say more bluesy. It's not. Mm-hmm. You probably are thinking, "Yep, he's bluesy. What a wimp."
Well, we kind of play blues too. I mean, like, that's kind of like. So the easiest music to write is blues music because, in blues music, there's different keys you can play it in, but it's all the same blues shuffle. You know, it's that same beat and that same chords every single time, just depending on what key it is. But like John Mayer, man, he's phenomenal. I personally don't like him. And if Landon was here right now, dude, he'd be going off on John Mayer. So
you know what, Landon, you're not here, but gosh, it sounds like you'd be bashing everything.
He would, man. He'd be talking your ear off.
He's a very picky,
very picky,
very picky. But I mean, he's got a variety, though.
Yeah, he opened my music up so wide.
Okay, well, that's good then, because you do need to have an open mind when writing your own music,
exactly,
I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Can't just be pigeonholed down one thing, and then this is all we're doing.
Right, no, yeah.
Whatever kicks it makes sense. So, okay, so you found Landon, and then you found him while he was playing a show at Rolling Stone, is that correct?
No, so we played our first show at Rolling Stone. And it was just us four, me and Hunter, our neighbor Kale, and then our bass player. And I was the lead singer at the time.
Okay.
And then it wasn't good. And then our bass player, Jaden, his name was, he worked at Menards and he got moved to Rochester Menards. And at the time, so did Landon. And while they were working, Jaden heard Landon singing in Menards, just screaming, belting, and then they started talking, and then, he came in and blew our minds, so, yeah.
And then now he's still with you.
Yep.
All right, the picky guy, later. Picky Landon.
Yeah, and then we did end up playing a second show at the old school.
Yep.
With Landon, and, I mean, we covered, like, Stairway to Heaven. And
I played the organ for that song.
Did the old Freebird.
You played the organ?
Yeah, I played the organ. Yeah, man.
He learned it. I'm not kidding you. In 10 minutes, he learned the organ part for Stairway to Heaven.
It was crazy.
No way.
It's annoying how fast he picks up the stuff. Because I have to sit down and, like, when I was playing guitar, I have to sit down and listen. He gets it, like, within 5-10 minutes.
Just like any kid at school, all of a sudden they pick up math. I'm like, how did you figure that out so quick?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you're just listening. You're like, I know.
And you know what they say? I couldn't tell you. Because, I mean, like, I literally couldn't tell you.
You don't even know why.
I just don't even know. I just have that ear where, like, I could listen to a song and just, like, find the first note on my guitar and then just know that it's going to go to this chord and it's going to go to this chord and then it's going to go to this chord.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Just years of experience, man.
So as a band now, I was asked you, have you played gigs? And have you played gigs places other than parades and just other shows at schools? Have you gotten paid gigs, I guess, is my question.
We've never gotten paid.
No, not yet. No.
But we, so the school in Rollingstone was like, it was basically, it was turned into a community center. So yep. It was just a big community center. So we played that twice. Then we didn't play anything for like almost a year and a half because I went to college and whatnot. And then we came back. When I came back, we played at WSU in their cafeteria thing or whatever. I can't remember what it's called.
But, yeah.
And was that it, show was terrible. Crisco Hall?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah. They got Panda Express down there. I love that.
Oh, I go there. I'm glad it's opened back up.
I know. That's right.
No, but yeah, when we played that show, that was the worst show we ever played in our life.
Why? What was bad about it? Like, yeah. No crowd? Or you guys?
To be honest?
Yeah. I do. I mean, that's what I'm going
for. It was Hunter, dude.
The guitar, like, they're so...
It was Hunter.
Yeah, it was. It was Hunter, dude. Okay, so, like, guitar, like, I'm really good at writing music with Dalton on guitar.
Yeah.
I'm good at writing ballads. But, like, they're playing these covers that I never heard, and I had to learn these covers in, like, 2 weeks. Yeah. Okay. Like I said, it takes me a while to pick up. I'm not like him. We can get in a matter of 5-10 minutes. And then it was kind of like... Yeah, you know, part of, yeah, it was a lot of things.
Yeah, but. I think we were also nervous, too, because, like, when we got there, we were expecting a little bit more people, but it was just, like, my 8 friends and then, like,
yeah, it was
two college kids there.
Okay, so I got to say, you know that I do professional wrestling.
Yeah.
The most awkward thing is when there's not enough people there.
Oh, it's terrible. Yes.
It's so weird. And some people might think the opposite, like, oh, there's a lot of people out there. I'm pretty nervous. Actually, it's quite the opposite.
Yeah, yeah.
It's weird and awkward when there's not enough people.
Exactly.
So if you had 8 friends there plus a few other people, you're talking, like, 20 people.
Yeah.
That's awkward to jam out to. Yep. I mean, you're jamming out in your garage, basically, at that point.
Right. Yep. So when you hear, like, people say, like, you know, I'll play the same, you know, if there's 2 people or if there's 1,000 people, I think that's all bullcrap, man.
I think so, too.
Yeah, because, you know, when you see a lot of people, you're like, I'm putting on a show.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And then when it's, like, 2 or 3 or 10 people, you're like, I don't know.
I know that from wrestling because if I look out and there's a crowd that's, I'm like, I'm not taking huge bumps tonight.
Right.
But, like, when I jumped off the balcony at the Black Horse, there was like 150 people there and you had standing room only. I'm like, I'm putting on a show tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not jumping off the balcony for 20 people.
Right,
sorry.
Right, yeah.
Okay. So yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. And I think the same way, there's no way I'm getting amped up for 20 people compared to 2,000 people.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, like, we'll still play, you know, we'll play our hardest, but like, just like my mindset during it is like, now I'm just playing in my room or, you know, or like in front of my parents or something, you know? So,
yeah. And you can't like, you know, when the crowd gets into it, like you, like as a musician, you start feeling the music more.
Oh yeah, you feel their energy.
You know,
yeah, absolutely.
And that's kind of like how it was at the Battle of the Bands. Like I looked up the couple times I did, and like people were, you know, bumping to it. And
yeah,
I mean that kind of, you know, lit the fire a little more. And
yeah, I couldn't.
And that's when it's fun.
I was playing. I had my hair was in front of my face the whole time, so I couldn't see anything.
Yeah,
I was just jamming, dude.
Well, there was, I would say there's at least 150 people there that night.
For real, man.
Easily.
Holy crap.
And I only came because you guys were there.
Oh, for real. Well, thanks for coming, man.
I texted you or at least messaged you. I said, hey, when are you on? Because I had something going on. I'm like, well, I got to make sure I'm done by this time so I can get there. Because I wanted to make sure I could listen to you. Because I've only heard your stuff over Facebook, I think.
Yep.
So I never had seen you, and I'm like, well, I got to make sure I get down there. And then I didn't realize it was a voting system, so obviously I got on and voted for you guys.
Let's go, dude.
And you guys came on in second place.
Second place. You know what?
And you only lost by like a couple votes, I think, right?
Yeah. So,
yeah.
I mean, Dead Amsterdam won, right? They're great. They're good guys, right? But what I thought, man, was, you know, they're doing this Battle of Bands in Winona, and like, you know, that first band was just like the small band or whatever. We were a small band. They were good. Everybody was good there. But what I thought is, why is this band that has 2 albums on Spotify and has played in Rockfest doing a Battle of the Bands with these small bands that are trying to, like, make it? You know what I mean?
Sure. Like, well, yeah, and I understand that, too. But the fact that you came in second place and you didn't even lose by that many votes.
Yeah, nobody even knew who we were. We just walked right up there and played our music. And
to be honest with you, I didn't even know what your name was until I went there that day.
Yeah, we never had a name. We had to pick one.
Oh, yep. So you came up with it then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I was getting that. That was one of my questions tonight. Is how did you come up with Dying Breed?
Okay, yeah.
Because I thought it was something you had already had.
No, man, it was like in the works for a long time. Ever since like White Walls broke up, we had one name, and it was The Rut. That was our first band name with us three, and That one was all right. I mean,
what was it called? The Rut?
The Rut, yeah.
It was a dumb band name.
It was basically saying, like, every time we like write music, we'd always be in that rut of not knowing what it was. So we're like, let's just call it.
I thought maybe it's because you were tanking, so it's a rut. I'm in a rut right now. That's good. Get away from that. Get away from that.
So then, yeah, me and Landon were playing music for a long time, and we couldn't figure out anything, and we're trying to figure out band names, and then Landon came up with Dying Breed, and basically behind it, the meaning of the name is, we are a dying breed of the music that we're playing.
Okay, well, that's way better than the rut.
Yeah,
that's
what I'm tell you exactly.
That. Yes. Yep. And you know what? You're right, though. That music it's not much anymore. It's not out there.
Right.
Okay, before I answer, I want to ask you, what kind of music do you think is making the most popular music at the moment? What's the type?
Bad music?
I would say...
I need like a genre-ish.
I would say country.
Yeah, like pop country.
I mean, look at Post Malone, for example. I was going to say
that, yep.
Right?
Yep.
He was rapping, now he's going country, and he's good at country.
He is.
Now I'll listen to Post Malone playing country.
Yeah.
You know?
Before I was like...
He's a genius, man, because...
But he is.
You know, he did that to probably get more people to like him. I mean, that's genius to like switch genres like that, you know?
But I think country, but I know Machine Gun Kelly was trying to bring back that 90s grunge.
Pop rock, like
Blink 182 and stuff, Green Day kind of feel.
That didn't work too well for him.
But I think music, it goes in cycles.
Yeah.
It goes in cycles, right? Yep.
Sure.
You know, but I mean, like the true 70s rock and roll, like Led Zeppelin, you know, Leonard Skinner.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like that stuff.
Or Aerosmith.
Like, that stuff is dying out, and that is true musical rock and roll. Now it's like, getting into AI stuff and...
I know. How do you even know?
Yes, but these guys would be straight up, bring their instruments in the studio, record an album, and put it out there. And just, I mean, respect. I wish I grew up in the 70s, like my old man. Like
Dad. Same, dude. Same.
I mean, going to Woodstock, you know, seeing Led Zeppelin live when they were all together.
Yeah, now you don't know what's real and what's not anymore.
Yeah,
like you said, there could be an AI song out there like, oh, I thought that was actually them. Because AI is pretty darn good at making people sound exactly the same.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. You watch like a TikTok video or something, you're like, I don't even know if that was real.
Yeah,
they just said something. I saw a video, it was like, I think it was like Tim Walz was dancing gay.
I saw that.
But it was some sort of filter and it wasn't actually him. I'm like,
but it looks real.
But it looks real because it's so grainy.
Yeah, it was like, I saw the same video. Like some chick was saying, like, look at this or whatever, and then like someone in the comments was like, this is totally fake. Cause, like,
I saw the original, and it was like, it didn't look like him, but it was.
Yeah,
crazy. It's honestly scary.
It is
with how real they make it, you know.
But I like your name, Dying Breed, and now that we know the behind the scenes of, it's because the music you're playing is kind of becoming lost.
Yeah.
And you guys both pointed out, and I was going to say exactly the same thing. It's like a pop country is now the most popular thing going out there because Morgan Wallen and Post Malone are like everywhere, and Jelly Roll.
Yep, Jelly Roll. They're
literally
awesome.
On everything and everyone's albums.
Yep.
So I mean, they're definitely taking advantage. Jelly Roll, I think, is taking advantage of his popularity. He's going across, because at first it sounded like rap to me.
Yep.
But it was like a country rap. And now he's literally going on everyone's album. I think he's on female albums and everything. And I'm like, holy smoke. So he's taking advantage of his popularity for sure. And I would agree. Everything you see, especially, and I see a lot of it on TikTok, or at least I hear it on TikTok, and it's mostly pop country.
Yep.
So I would agree that's probably the popular of what's going on.
Do you like it?
Some.
Yeah.
Some things. I haven't listened to a whole lot of the Post Malone country album.
Yeah.
Some of the Morgan Wallen stuff is very catchy, for sure.
Yep.
Here's what I can appreciate when it comes to music. More verse, less chorus. I don't like...
I agree, bro.
Four lines and then a four or five line chorus, and it just goes back and forth for three times.
It gets
like,
old.
Dude. It does. I mean, it's repetitive, but I know when you're making music and you're trying to make money, you got to do what sells.
Right.
I get that too. So, I mean, if you guys were, you know, if you guys blew up and they said, hey, you got to make more chorus than this, and you're either going to make this amount of money or this amount of money.
I'll take the less money, dude. I'm not writing that
stuff. You think so?
Oh, yeah. I'm not doing
that. Okay. Then I am on the opposite.
Really?
Let me make the choruses, I'm going to make a triple the amount of money, I guess.
Yeah.
But you guys love what you do, and I'm not a musician.
Yeah.
Right. I like karaoke.
Yeah,
you set me up in front of a karaoke machine. I suck. My voice sounds like crap.
What's your go-to song?
Gin and Juice by Snoop Dogg. And then after that, it's Engelbert Humperdinck.
All right.
Please release me.
Yep.
Yes.
Nice.
So I'm like two ends of the spectrum. Yeah. My favorite type of music is to sing as like a boy band song, but my voice sounds like crap. Ooh. So at least I can kind of hide my voice with Gin and Juice.
Okay.
Because yeah. I'm clearly not black and I'm not from the hood. So at least when I do it, I'm all over the stage.
Yep.
Here's the one thing I can tell you. If you need a stage presence, I got you covered. Perfect. If you need real vocals, I don't have you covered. But if you want me to go all up and down the stage and put on a performance, I got you. So that's the thing. I always think, I wish I didn't suck at singing because I love singing.
Yeah.
But my voice just sounds like absolute crap. But I can put on a show. I can put on a show. Anything else? I'm not any good. So karaoke. Yep. My buddy Paul, he's been on the podcast before. His kids go to school at St. Martin's now. Paul Ebner, Paul Daly, however you know him on the radio.
Yep.
He puts on karaoke at Two Fathoms as well, where you guys had Battle of the Bands. And I go, cue me up. You know what I want? I go, read the crowd. Let me know which one I'm singing. And he does. And then when it gets late in the night, sometimes I might go to Blake Shelton, Austin.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite songs of country when I was younger. It's like 2001, I think that song came out.
But so I was born, dude.
It sounds more. It's pretty slow. Yes, it is pretty slow. But you can at least try to make your voice sound country.
Yeah.
And then it kind of blocks out how crappy my voice actually is because I can't hit a high note to save my life.
It's all in fun, dude. I mean, I can't sing either. But when I'm in my car or like jamming out with the boys or whatever, I'm singing too.
I don't know. It's to me, even when I get up for just one karaoke song, it's an adrenaline rush. Oh, I imagine you guys got to have the same thing playing a set of songs together.
For me, it's the crowd. When I hear that crowd make noise, it's like, all right, we got them. Let's keep it going.
Okay, I have one story that I have a crowd story, and it was on the cruise back in March. I think I've told this on the podcast before. I had there's this guy. He came on the cruise. I think he sang like Frankie Valli or something like that. He's, I would say, he's mid to upper 50s white guy, dressed very nicely, nice blue sport coat, hair perfectly coiffed, sounded fantastic. Guess who's up after him? Me. And I'm singing Engelbert Humperdinck, and I sang Can't Take My Eyes Off of You, and it's been sang by multiple different people throughout the generations. I can't take my eyes off of you. It's just too good to be true. That song, if you've heard that.
Yep.
Anyways, I get up on the mic and go, I got to follow that. I go, okay, well, here we go. So I do that. I do that song, Can't Take My Eyes Off of You. I'm over on the stage. I'm singing my heart off. I'm on my knees doing all the theatrics. Voices half-assed. And after I get done, I put the mic back in the stand. That guy walks up, takes off his blue sport coat, puts it on my shoulders, does this to me. And I'm like, he just crowned me with this little jacket. And I felt like a million bucks at that moment for about 10 seconds.
Yep.
And I'm like, well, if my voice sucked, at least the theatrics were amazing. Man. And it was hilarious. He's like, here he is. He did a fantastic job. And that was just like a mental high for me. So I can only imagine what you guys feel when you're on stage performing in front of a crowd, a live crowd. There's nothing like it.
Yeah, man.
So speaking of karaoke, though, so I went out with some friends and we were at the bar and I sang a song and like it was the same thing. It was Picture by Kid Rock and Sheryl Crow.
Yes.
And I was duetting with one of my coworkers and she could sing pretty good. And there's that one note that Kid Rock sings. And I'm in the song. I forgot. I forgot about it. I go, oh my gosh, good thing I was, a little
tuned up. All right,
tuned up.
It's okay. You can say it on this. It's Bruise and Cruise.
But then I hit it. I hit that note, and the crowd just, erupts. Yes. And I go, all right, okay. And then I sang it at another bar, and then I sounded like shit. You know, like it was just one hit wonder. You know. But I mean, it's when you're tuned up. I mean, it's fun if you're with the right people. I mean, it's fun and. Like, that's the same thing in the garage when we're jamming. Like he can't sing.
Nah, yeah.
But, like, Landon, he's so humble about it.
Yeah.
I'll be like, Landon, can I sing a song? Yeah, go ahead. Then he'll jump on the drums, or something. But
yeah, we'll just goof around or whatever, have a good time,
Yeah.
And then, with that, like, the singing part of it, like I said, when our old band, I sang too. But, man, I can't sing that good. I got a really high voice when I sing. So like I sound kind of annoying, but so like when that happened, that was pretty bad, but yeah, that that adrenaline rush on stage, like that, you know, the first game jitters or whatever they call it, you know, yeah. you're up on, you get that nervousness.
The butterflies. Yeah. yeah.
It's definitely real. Cause like every time, no matter what I'm doing, like any music, like when I would, you know, when, you know, in high school going up playing concerts and stuff like that, I'd always be like super nervous. But then like once I start playing, like all goes away and then that adrenaline rush comes in.
Yeah, because you're in your focus. You're in your element.
Yep.
I know what you're talking about. It's like wrestling. You're like, I go out. Once I'm behind the stage, I go out and all of a sudden it's like, okay, show's on. Lights are on. It's go time. And now it's just all adrenaline. Yeah. And you're just – and it takes a long time to come down after you're done, actually.
Yeah.
It takes about an hour or hour and a half for me. I'm like, okay. The fun was over.
Yep.
I don't know, but that's just me. Now, yeah. you played at the old St. Martin's, right?
Yeah.
I remember your mom took a video of you. Yeah. Was it just you by yourself?
No, it was me and Hunter, dude. So that's hilarious. It's a memory I forgot about. So
yeah, it was pretty grainy video that your mom recorded on. Probably from like she probably had a Motorola Razr. Yeah,
probably.
But probably. It was when Hunter was in high school, and I was in seventh grade, so I was 13, 14 at the time, and
yeah,
Hunter was on the drums, I was on the guitar, and I was playing
we played AC/DC
yeah, and I remember I had my Epiphone, then I had that old Yamaha we still use today,
and the drum set too, the
first same drum set too, and we played Highway to Hell in the church.
This was at St. Martin's school. This is in the old gym,
the guitar.
Yeah,
oh, that's the national anthem, yeah. dude.
But that's sick, too. That this is another one I kind of remember. Yeah, actually. Yeah. So you played Highway to Hell in the church.
Yeah, we did. Yep.
Nice. It was awesome. Cool.
It was awesome.
And that was kind of...
I sounded bad. My Hunter sounded good because I was just still learning how to play guitar at the
Who
time.
Let you in to do that?
Larry Finke.
Yeah, Finke.
Oh, Larry Finke. Yep.
I mean, with that, you know, we were in choir, right? Easy A in high school.
That was another question I had. You guys were both in choir.
Yes.
Yep. Okay. Yep. Good, now that's answered.
So, like, with that, you know, we all did choir for the easy A, right? It was an easy check off the box.
Yep.
Easy money. But, I mean, Mr. Finke, or Larry Finke.
Yeah.
Finkster.
He also listens to the podcast often.
Good.
No way, dude.
Good.
Yes, he does.
I hope he's listening. Yeah. Shout out to Finke, dude.
Yes.
Because
he's a huge role model in my life.
Yes.
I will send this to him then.
He literally, Dalton and I were kind of in the shadows on like showing our talent, but he really brought it to life, especially in choir. Like with me singing, like he made me get out of my comfort zone.
100%.
Sure.
With percussion, I'll never forget it. We're doing a choir song. He was like, "I need you to follow the sheet music," and I'm like, "Mr. Finke, I don't follow sheet music. It's all by ear."
What the hell is sheet music?
Yeah.
It's paper.
So like I'm playing it. And he's like, follow the sheet music. I'm like, I can't. Like, I know kind of how to read music, but I never could follow it. Then he just let me do my thing, you know, and it worked out. But, I mean, he really made Dalton and I, he pushed us in the right direction.
Sure.
You know, doing the concerts, you know, just Dalton and I, like, we did that one where Josiah Sancork, who can't sing or can't play an instrument, Shout out to Josiah.
Yeah,
you know, and then our cousin Josie, like we did this thing. It was Free Falling.
Oh yeah.
And Lindsay Littlefield played.
Free Falling.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we played that, and you know he pushed us to get us out of our comfort zone. And our first concert in Rowanstone, I will never forget. I looked up from my guitar and I looked out and I saw Mr. Finke sitting there, and that meant a lot to me because he was our mentor.
Yeah,
you know, in high school, he pushed us to.
I feel like he just appreciates music in general.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, no matter if it's the rock music, organ music, he's appreciating all of it.
From the 100%. Yeah.
Exactly. And I mean, he showed us things. He taught us things. And I mean, but he could never get us to read sheet music.
Yeah.
At least not me. He tried, and I was like, I just can't.
I'm following my ear.
If it wasn't for Mr. Finke, I would never know how to read guitar tabs, which is like. Note for note, you know, when reading sheet music or whatever, I would never have had any interest in it until we had to do a Christmas concert and Larry was like, learn this. And I'm like, I don't know how, dude. And he's like, this is what this means. And I learned it. I had to play Silent Night on the guitar and I learned it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, funny thing is, actually, I helped him record music. He had to do some organ music at a different church, and he was sending it to someone and actually recorded him with this mic or one of these mics.
Yep. Okay.
And it was funny, and he's like, hey, could you help me? And I'm like, yep, I know exactly how to do this recording. And so I helped him record some music on these mics. It wasn't fantastic by any means. I held up the mic by the organ, and it wasn't at St. Martin's, at a different church. So I'm like, sure, trying to hold it as close as I can to get the best sound.
Yep.
He said he never responded saying it was bad, so I hope it was good. Okay. But isn't it funny? You think back when you're a child, you're like, oh, I'm never going to use this crap. And then all of a sudden you're like, wait a second. I look back, I'm like, wait, he helped me out so much on these things.
Oh, yeah,
or 100%. She helped me out so much on these things. Because I remember I was your age at one point back in middle school. I'm like, when the hell am I going to use this? And yep, then all of a sudden I use it, and I'm like, oh, yeah, man, I appreciate that person showing me X, Y, or Z or whatever it was.
Yep, 100%.
Yeah, it's, you know, like, I mean, we had a lot of good mentors in our life. I would say Rocky Sancourt was one for me.
100%. Oh, yeah. Rocky's been – I only had him for eighth grade, but he was by far my favorite teacher of all time.
Yeah, he's exactly. An amazing guy.
He lit the fire. He motivated you quite a bit. Another one for me was Mrs. Bouch, or Shannon Bouch. I mean, she's like that second mom to me. She always pushed me, kept me in line. And, I mean, obviously, like our parents too, mom and dad, you know, they pushed us to – keep pursuing the music. We kind of hit a thing where, like, whatever, we're going to sell everything, we're done.
Yeah. My mom always tells me, like, you got to do something. You got to do something with your music. You got to do something. And that's what if someone came up to me and said, hey, if you dropped everything right now, came with me, we made an album, and I can get you on tour, I'd do it in a heartbeat.
Yep.
That shows passionate. What your love is and
I'm
your passion.
I'm so passionate about it, dude.
I remember telling you that too when we were doing those home visits with the shut-ins. I said, you need to pursue that. You should, and I always told you, I said, you should go to tech college and take audio engineering for a couple of years, and you can at least learn some basic stuff that would help you pursue what you actually love. Because just from listening to you the little bit, those 4 years when I didn't really have you afterwards, I knew that you were passionate about music.
Oh, yeah.
Hunter, I didn't know you that well, so I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But I remember having, because you were in my my group, my chapel. It was our chapel family is what it was.
Yep.
It was you, me, and a couple other kids, and we would go to Kensington. On our way and back, I was like, you should do that. You know, you should take audio engineering. You obviously love what you're doing in that aspect of guitar, music, and so on and so forth. And I always thought, and now you guys are still playing. And I'm like, this is fantastic. And that's why when you're at the Battle of the Bands, I'm like, I got to get there somehow. And I made it there so I could hear you guys, and that was awesome that you guys are still doing that. That gets me to my next point.
Yep.
How did the Battle of the Bands come about? Like, did
I got it. So
I got this.
This is
all right. Sounds like you already know.
This is, dude. The one. First of all, let me say our band, dude. It's almost crazy how when you look at our story, it's almost like one of those like underdog, you know, like crazy stories you'd hear of like a famous band.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to like, you know, boost us up or anything, but that's literally how it is. So Corey Leeske, he was on your podcast.
On the podcast.
I worked with him.
For those who do not know, just before you do,
yep.
Those who don't know, it was Corey. He's actually part of the Homebrewers crew, and Dalton works with him. He was on one of the previous episodes. I would say somewhere in probably the 20s. I don't even know, but it was earlier in the summer just before the beer tour. So you work with Corey.
I do, yes. Corey's
perfect.
Corey's a good guy,
yep.
And he loves the whole Winona music scene.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell him, like, dude, you know, we play music and we're trying to, like, play somewhere or whatever. And then he sends me a screenshot of 101.1, the Battle of the Bands, and I'm like, oh, sick, dude. And, you know, it was you send one of your songs in or whatever, so... you know, I texted Hunter and Landon. I was like, dude, let's do this. You know, screw it. We'll just send a song in, see how it goes. And so we didn't have anything like professionally recorded. So what I did was I took one of our videos of one of our songs that we did, and I put it into GarageBand on iOS. And I like separated the audio from the video, and I like made it sound like super good. And I sent it in, and then we didn't get picked. We didn't get picked for Battle of the Bands. So I'm sitting there like, man, do we suck or something? Like, I was just so,
yeah,
I was pretty mad.
Degrading.
Yeah, I was definitely humbled me, and I was like, dude, maybe we're not that good or whatever. And then like the week after they picked the winners, Paul Daly emailed me, and he's like, one of the bands dropped out. You guys were next in line, so now you guys are in it. And I was like, no way. I was so happy when I heard that. I was like,
that's sick.
So wow. With that, like, I think it's, I don't know if it's destiny or fate. I mean, I think God has a big part in it. Because it's like, you know, when I was deployed, the band kind of fell apart. And then it came back together and we wrote these good songs. And then, you know, we did a gig and it was garbage. And we're like, well, should we just hang up everything? And then same thing with this Battle of the Bands. Like, we put an original in. It was risky. Because I'm sure other bands either put originals in or covers.
Yeah.
But then just out of the blue, like, we get picked again. And then we go and we play, a decent show. I wouldn't say it was
good. You're talking about Battle of the Bands?
Battle of the Bands. Yeah. I mean, it was good. Like, I remember looking up the crowd, people are going. And then, I don't know, it's just kind of, the stars are starting to align.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if it's just, I truly think it's God's plan, but, I mean, I don't know. It's just kind of, the stars are aligning. We'll see where it goes.
Sure. Well, I mean, you guys took second in the voting, from what I understand.
Yeah, we did. And they weren't going to announce it, man. They weren't going to announce it. Because he said the winner, it was Dead Amsterdam, and I was like, what? I was like, then he didn't announce, like, second place, third place, fourth place, and I'm like, no way. And I was like yelling, I was like, dude, what, who's second, who's third? And he's like, you guys really want to know? And I'm like,
we want to know.
You know,
I want to know what I lost by. Yeah, you know? And I heard it was by, like, I think it was four votes.
Yeah, four votes from first to fourth.
Yes, that's first to fourth. That means you were within that.
Yeah. I mean, it was tight. And we talked to Paul Daly before the thing, and he said it was tight, I mean, with the scoring all the way around.
Yeah. Yeah, even, like, picking the bands to bean it, too.
Dude, I was so – I was down at Big Muddy Brewing Q, and I'm like – I saw them setting up Dead Amsterdam. I'm like, damn, I wish it was you guys because
dude, me too.
I wanted to stick around and watch them. And granted, like I said – the music that they play, I'm like, nah, it's not my biggest thing. But if you guys are up there, I'm sticking around and I'm watching it for the couple hours that you guys are up there to see what's going on. Because I like to support those that I know for sure and right. Those who are local. I don't even know where Dead Amsterdam is from.
From La Crosse.
They're from La Crosse. Okay. Yeah. And I heard that they – now, here's the thing, give you kudos, is I heard that they – like you said, they have two albums, but they've also done – a plethora of shows, right?
Yep.
And you guys haven't even done a paid gig. And you came in within less than four votes behind them.
That is pretty crazy, dude.
So that does speak volumes on how good you guys are. But it also speaks volumes on really how good everyone kind of was that day.
Yeah. All the bands were good, man. I mean, I heard, like, I was talking to, like, my buddies and, like, people in the crowd, just, you know, hearing their opinion. And a lot of people didn't like the first band. It was Aphelatus. I actually really liked the first band. Like,
really?
They were really good.
I didn't get to see that one because I showed up just as you guys were setting up because I said, go get them, boys.
Yep.
And I went in and grabbed a beer, and then I came back out, and you guys were already playing your three songs?
Two songs.
So you guys were halfway through your first one then, and then you had your next one afterwards. And I was like, I hope they can get them. And then Miss Paskowitz, not Mrs. P., Mrs. P's daughter that
Katie,
now works.
Katie.
She. I go, Katie, got to vote for them. I'm like, they're good. And so she voted, and I had some, I think I had a couple other people voting too. Good. So I don't know how many people were there for Dead Amsterdam, but I really was like, I got to support these guys. They're local, former student, former Hope, former St. Martin's people.
Yep.
And gosh, just to lose by a couple votes, that sucks. But you guys, that means you're right up there with a band that has two albums out.
And I think too, like,
people, great perspective.
I like how, like, nobody knew who we were.
Yeah.
It was our first time, right? Like, playing
like
three.
We, you know, we have the talent. We're pretty humble about it, but we knew we had the talent.
Yeah.
And the musical, like, to take an original song and make it how we want it.
Yes.
Like, there was breakdowns in the Backdoor Man song that we just added in there. The ending guitar solo in that last one we played was all him, you know.
Like, yeah, we added that the night before.
Yeah, the night before we added that.
Nice.
And, yeah.
You know, no one knew who we were. And we're like, well, we're going to play, you know, a kick-ass show and see what happens, you know. It's kind of, I don't know, like, I don't know if you've seen the movie School of Rock.
Once, and I don't remember much of it.
It's my favorite movie. It's our favorite movie. We watched it so many times.
The audience probably knows more than I do then.
School of Rock, dude.
Yeah. I remember watching with Josiah Sancourt.
Man. Yeah, man. Yep.
But
back in the day.
It was kind of like that, you know, like this band came on, no one knew who they were, and then they played a kick-ass show. And, I mean, it makes you feel good, like we were second. You know, I'll take second all day. I wasn't expecting to take first. I was hoping to. But we took second. I mean, now
I
people
was.
Know
I saw. I saw your audience out there. I'm like, there's a lot of people here for these guys. I'm like,
yeah,
they might win, and that would be so sick to go to the Big Muddy Brewing Queue and be on the big stage there.
Yeah.
And then at least you can say, hey, we played here, and now you know, never know what happens after. Right. That.
Exactly. Yeah. I think it opened the doors for opportunity. I mean, now we got to go play at the bars and stuff, and. But really, I think our main focus is getting like a studio recording and getting out that way. I really think we could set some ripples.
Because it's a lot different nowadays than it was, you know, back in like the 70s, 80s, 90s. Because like now we have like the internet and all this stuff where we can put our music out there. But at the time back then, man, it was like you would go play places so people could hear you. But now it's like you can record something and put it on the internet and people could like it that way, and you don't even have to have an audience.
You know, you could become TikTok famous.
Exactly, yeah.
You don't even know.
I mean, in a night, it can happen in a night.
Yeah. You know, look at Justin Bieber. That's how he got famous.
Exactly. Yeah, Jack Ryan. Right. Yep.
Yep. Well, you know, I was, you know, that you say that, and you said it was like maybe $600 to $1,000 to record a song.
Yep. Yeah.
All you guys have to do is save up $333 a person at most.
Yep.
And record the song that you think is the best, perfect it. Just have it recorded, and who knows what happens with it. I would be focused on that too. But also, I think there's a lot of places in town that would have you guys as a three-piece band. Two Fathoms would probably have you and pay you, to be honest with you, because you've already been there. You've already proven that you took second in the Battle of the Bands.
Yep.
So they'll have you there. You'll get paid, and then all you do is take that gig money that all three of you guys make and then stack it up, the money you don't even see. And then start recording songs. I would love that. That'd be awesome. I want to see that.
I didn't think of it that
way. I mean, so like...
like the gig money, you already want to do it.
Yeah.
So it doesn't even matter. So to you, it's just a hobby. So now all of a sudden, let's just say they pay you $300 or $500. I don't even know what a band gets paid.
Yeah.
Throw that into a bank account that's there for recording music. And then all you have to do is be like, okay, we got this much money. Let's go record another song. Let's go record another song. And like you said, you can just throw out singles here, singles there.
Yeah.
I mean, shit, I'm on Spotify.
Yeah, dude.
I don't even know what the hell I'm doing.
Yeah, dude.
All I did was go on RSS.com and I said, put it on this, and I just checked the box and it said, okay, well, make sure you're certified that you actually have a podcast.
Oh.
And now I'm on those other things. But I don't know what it goes. I don't know what music does. I don't know how
it's probably the same thing. I mean, I wouldn't imagine it's any different.
I'm sure if you just Googled how to put music on Spotify or Apple Music, you probably can figure it out. And Amazon Music, because I'm on Amazon too. And I'm pretty sure you guys could do the same thing. So you guys need to record a song. Just
we
one
do.
Song. Just to say, you can just to say to your grandchildren, children, for you for sure. Hey, guess what? Daddy has a song or grandpa has a song. Check this out. This is that what dad cool. did. This legacy, is what grandpa bro. Did. Just have as a legacy, I guess. I don't know.
Because our dad used to be in a band.
Yeah, you want to know what the band name was?
Back in the day.
You know what the band name was?
No, what is it?
So dad was in a band and the name was Pearls of Power.
Pearls of Power. What does that mean?
I don't even know.
But he I remember him showing me a picture of him with long hair, like Dalton.
Yep. Yep.
God, I got a question about that too.
And he's playing the guitar. And like my dad never really tells us about his past. You know, like I want to know. Like
he's
grandma,
mysterious, man.
Grandma kind of gave us some hints, you know, and stuff like that. But I mean, like my dad went to Woodstock. You know, he saw Led Zeppelin live. I mean, that's like
saw the Stones. He saw
like Rolling Stones. You know, like it's like that's some stuff that I want to know about. And but I mean, like it's just like it's the legacy. You know, it's passing on. Like now, my oldest Jace, he's starting to get an interest in drums.
Yeah,
we got him a little drum set. You know, he beats on it. Now my second kid Lincoln, he's starting to get the interest. So it's you know, you're building that legacy and. And music is just so, it's therapeutic, and it's good for the brain, man. I mean.
Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
Everyone's got different therapy.
Exactly. So, but yeah, I mean, our dad used to be in the band, which.
He's bald.
Now he's bald, yeah.
And you have short hair, you have long hair.
Yeah.
What gives?
What gives?
His long hair drives me nuts, by the way.
Yeah, I get your hair because. I like to have my
I used to get
high
like
and tightish,
that.
Whatever you consider that.
I used to get it like that all the time.
What's this over here? What do we got going
so,
on? Because you got to have some hair to rock out.
I mean,
too,
I got an undercut, too. Like, I shaved the sides. But
okay.
Before, man, like, so when I was a senior in high school, I just decided to grow my hair out, see how long I could do it. And it was super long. It wasn't as long as it is now, but it was long. And then when I went to college, I still had the long hair and they shaved it. And then now the inspiration of my hair is just I need it for my music because it helps me play better. That's my thought.
Dude, when I look at your hair, it looks so uncomfortable because I sweat a lot.
Oh, yeah.
So when
dude.
I see your hair, I'm like, oh my gosh, it just looks like a mop on my head and I'm just going to sweat.
That's exactly
what it is. It's a lot of maintenance, but I wouldn't get rid of it. I mean, so I'm getting married soon, you know. And
I know. I have to get onto that too yet.
Yeah.
We're not there.
I'm getting married soon and my fiance and I are trying to decide what I want to do with my hair.
Cut it.
I might do a man bun. I might do it down. Who knows what's going to happen. But
I think the man bun you should not do. I don't think good. It helps the band.
You'd be surprised how good it looks, dude. You'd be surprised how good it
man
looks.
Man card gone with the man bun. That's
man
how I
Man card gone but I got that with undercut, the man bun.
So it's like that clean. It looks like a Viking, yeah. Dude. It looks like a Viking. Some Game of Thrones stuff, dude.
So it's like up but it's down.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on now. We might have something.
Exactly.
If you look at a Viking, we might have something.
That's what I'm saying, dude. And I got the beard going too. You know, it's that whole Viking look that I'm going for.
If you got the hipster man bun, we might.
No, it ain't.
Hunter might cut it off and donate it to Locks of Love.
No, it ain't like that.
It's ridiculous. I can't stand it. But I mean, when we're rocking out, it's cool. But like for your wedding, like cut it, dude.
Well, then what's going to happen? Then we're going to be playing music.
We don't want the band to fold at the same time if the wedding happens.
I guess it's a horse.
But I mean, I think I'm going to keep it for the winter time. Probably cut it off. Do buzz cut or something.
Oh, total opposite.
Yeah, I should. So I like to go.
Total opposite.
Yeah, why would you buzz cut it?
Because it restarts it, and then I can grow it out again. You know what I'm saying? Because right now, since I did the undercut or whatever,
it's
like
backsplash.
Everything's uneven, so I gotta cut it all off. And you know, anyway, but like I love long hair. It's a lot of maintenance, but I wouldn't. I love it.
Really?
My parents hate it too. Hunter hates it.
Gosh, I remember you running up and down the basketball court, and I would not have thought of long hair for you. You were hardcore running up and down. Dude, you're the one kid that I could be like, you good to go? Yep, I'm good to go. And you just run. You never got tired. And one time you, hurt your ankle. I remember this. It's first year coaching. Yep. I'm like, are you good to go or what's going on? And you're like, yeah, I'll do it. It was one of the last tournaments of the season. And you're I'm
it
in
was,
the RCLS.
It's funny because when I hurt, I remember what happened when I hurt my ankle that year is – it was during PE class, and Matt Starks, one of my good buddies, I'm actually the best man in his wedding.
He's getting married too.
Yeah,
yes.
we're all getting married.
I have his wedding invite well.
Yeah, so we were playing PE, and then Matt went up for a rebound and landed right on my ankle. And
I remember that.
I was out
in the
for
old gym.
A long time. Yep.
But you muscled through it, and you're the one guy that was like, I can rely on him. He's not gonna give a crap if he's injured or not. He's just gonna go.
Yep.
And I'm like, well, as long as he says he's good, then he's good. And I know mom and dad, they're not gonna care.
Yeah,
one
don't
way
care.
Or the
they
other.
Just want to see me play. So
that's right. Exactly. You know? So long hair, you're not getting rid of that anytime soon. Maybe in the spring.
Maybe in the spring, man. I mean, it's a lot of maintenance for sure, like washing it and. You know, there's a whole, I mean, I have my routine or whatever, but I love it, dude. Like I can put it up, you know, when I work out or when I am at work or whatever. And
Do you and your fiance share the shampoo?
Yes, we do.
And conditioner?
Yep. Damn.
Shout out Native. You guys ever heard of Native shampoo and conditioner?
I have.
Yep,
I
use it.
That's what I use. It's the best. It's
See, I put Hunter on the hair. I got to have it nice, you know, nice and clean on the sides.
I mean,
nice on the top. I got to do
I mean,
that.
I'm getting mine cut every 2 weeks. Do you do the same?
I haven't cut my hair. So it's every week and a half.
Nice.
And I'm going home tonight to cut it because I won't be home for 5 weeks. Or no, not sorry, not 5 weeks, 5 days. I go to Camp Omega, as we talked about.
Yep.
Oh, man, and then I won't be home. I go to Nebraska to watch the Nebraska versus UNI game, which I went to UNI.
That's right, yeah.
So my buddy Hurley, he's like, hey, they're playing. My family has season tickets. They've had, as far as I can remember, he's like, you're the only person that would want to go see this game. Do you want to go with me? I'm like, absolutely.
Hell yeah.
And so I'm like, I got to cut my hair beforehand because I'm a week and a half kind of guy.
Dude.
So I cut my own, so it doesn't cost me anything.
No,
besides the razor that I replace every 5 to 10 years-ish.
Oh,
so I'm like, I cut my own. I have a trifold in there. I cut my own.
Nice.
And so I do my own. So it costs me $0 because my hair grows very fast.
Mine does too.
Does it?
Mine does too.
Isn't it annoying to pay someone?
Yeah, I just
do
got
you
mine
own?
Cut today. I go to a barber downtown.
Okay.
You get a cut.
You going to Uncle Gil?
Beard too?
Huh?
You going to Uncle Gil?
No.
Who are you going to?
I go to the... What is it called?
Barbershop for Men.
Nope, not the barbershop.
Where's that?
The
Bartistas. That's over there. Where's
Bartistas.
That? At?
You know where Chris Volkman's shop is?
That's over by the railroad tracks, kind of, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So it's right next to there. And she's been, the lady who cuts my hair has been doing it for since I got back from deployment. And yeah, I've been going there. I mean, she does good clean fades.
Shout her out. Who is it?
Natasha. That's her name.
Natasha what?
I don't know her last name.
I've been going there as long as I've been back.
But she
I have no idea what her name is.
The Bartistas. That's
Bartistas.
What it is.
Bartistas.
Yes.
Hey, you want to know where I get my haircut? Nowhere.
Nowhere.
I mean, my roommate, Marshall Hale, shout out to him. He does my undercut. He shaves it for me right in the bathroom. He does a great job.
Well, it sounds like in a couple of weeks his wife's going to do it.
Yeah. Maybe. No, last time she cut my hair, I had to buzz it all off.
So speaking of that, I let my wife cut my hair one time. And I was like, Natalie, I need a fade. And she cut it short, but she didn't fade the line in.
Oh, no, I know.
Never again. She's like, well, we'll save
mushroom cut at that point.
Yeah, I did. She's like, well, we'll save money. Can I cut your hair? I said, never again.
Yeah, well.
So I will pay the $23 to get my hair cut every time.
Plus tip.
So yeah,
I usually give a $4 tip. I usually give a $4 tip.
My razor costs about $50. If you can learn how to cut your own, if you have a trifold mirror, you don't even need a trifold mirror as long as you can hold a mirror and do it at the same time. You would save yourself $23 each time.
So there was one other person I let cut my hair is Josiah Sancork.
Oh,
and
really?
He actually, it was in my parents' kitchen. I don't know if you remember that.
I do remember that.
And he actually did a really good fade.
Really?
Yeah, it was surprising.
Good for him.
That's a memory I forgot.
But that was years ago.
I used to cut my buddy's hair too every so often. He would ask me if he's like, I cut my hair. I'm like, sure, absolutely. His didn't grow as fast as mine. But see, I didn't like paying for it for one second of all. I liked having a clean cut very often. I like the clean feel.
Yep.
So I'm that kind of guy. Like, your hair right now looks fresh. I cut mine about a week ago or so, and now I'm going to cut it again because I won't be home for 5 days.
Yeah,
and you guys are making me want to get a haircut, dude.
We can buzz that off real fast.
We can do it tonight, please.
Nah, dude, it's staying, bro. I mean,
nah, he's got to grow up for locks of love.
I got to – it's good for the band, dude, because I know Landon –
It's good for the band.
Yes. And Landon, he grew his hair out for a long time too, and then he buzzed it all off. I'm like, why'd you do that, man? Now he's growing it out again because it's fun, man. It's fun whipping your hair around and
get
into it. It's just part of the experience.
How many months or years is your hair right now?
So this is like
two and a half years. Okay.
2.5 years.
And yours is obviously fresh cut.
Yeah. Two and a half years.
About a week.
Yeah.
I
always encourage people to grow their hair out once just to see how it looks.
Yeah.
Because I would never have grown out my hair, whatever. But when I did, I was like, man, this looks good. So I was like, I'm gonna keep it. So
it's a military thing. Like, we have to be,
be freshed up.
Yep. Fresh and everything before we drill. And
hey, you used to have long hair though.
But yeah, I used to have this stupid Justin Bieber bangs.
The Bieber bangs.
Back in fifth grade.
Oh, the Bieber bangs.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
And then, I've been through stages with my hair. But now I've kind of found what I like.
Did you graduate high school?
2017.
17. Oh, so you were there when I was there?
But I was like a white guy with an afro. Like, kind of.
Yeah, it would poof up high. A lot. It'd poof up a lot, yeah.
But then you got to work with it. And
yeah.
But I like just the, especially in the summer, the fade and everything, it keeps you cool. Because when I'm out in the field for 15 days straight or whatever, however long we are, it's nice to have, not girl hair on your head.
Dude, come on. Bro.
Not chick hair.
Hey, the beard makes up for it, though.
Yeah.
So where's the band up to next? You got the Battle of the Bands, coming in second place. Where are we going next?
What's going on? So ever since Battle of the Bands, which was August.
It was about 3 weeks ago or so.
Yeah, we haven't played since. We have not played
together?
Since. Yep.
We just been
so busy. I mean, I'm getting married this month. Landon's moving. So after this September, I'm gonna hit it hard with Landon and try to get, gigs going and everything like that. And because I've just been so busy planning the wedding and getting everything ready for that.
I get that. When's your? I got married last year on September 23rd. So
September 21st.
Oh, so you're on the same weekend as me then. So we'll never forget the wedding dates.
Yep.
My two other buddies there were on the 21st, 22nd. I'm the 23rd.
Let's go.
And you're what? 21st, you said?
Yep, 21st.
All right. So you're with my buddy Brett, Officer Hurley.
Officer Hurley.
Did he come on your eighth grade year?
I remember.
He was there. I know that.
Yeah, I remember sitting in the back of the cop car.
Okay.
And I think he put handcuffs on me too.
Probably. Good. And you that will creep. Be. You'll have the same wedding date as him then at September 21st because I'm pretty sure that's his. So you're getting married. You're already married.
Yeah.
And I think you guys, in my mind, here's what I think you need to do. I think you guys should get a professional photo as a band together.
We were gonna do that before.
You don't have to be professional. Yeah, Someone else could just have a camera.
Okay, so speaking of the picture, it's kind of a funny story.
Yeah, go ahead.
So you guys jamming out in the garage, it looked like.
Yeah, so Dalton's like, we need a picture. I go, okay. So we were supposed to it was like a Wednesday, we're supposed to practice. Well, Landon bailed out and he was busy. So he bailed out. And then we never got a picture. So Dalton takes his dumb picture of us jamming out. And I'm like, I text him. He literally said, this is the picture. And I text him. I go, this is the dumbest picture you could have taken. We look like idiots.
Was that bad, bro?
It was bad.
You know, so.
But I agree with you. We need a good picture of us and
And then guess what? Canva, you can do whatever you want with it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys are part of Canva, but I do it for real estate. But it's also part of the podcast as well. So it's used for real estate and podcasts. Canva is amazing. It lets you be very digitally creative. Whether you're creative like that, it will actually make everything look really professional. So you can send out, say, hey, this is our band. You have a nice professional photo. You can make a poster out of it. Everything I've done with the podcast so far is because of Canva. This is from Canva.
The coasters.
And I just send it to someone to make me coasters, stickers, all that kind of stuff. Sweet. You guys need to just get some sort of professional photo. And if your wife can do it, even better because it costs you probably nothing but a camera.
So, and I mean the iPhones too, like the iPhone cameras.
That's all we're shooting this on is an iPhone camera.
Shout out to iPhone.
Shout out to
Apple. Because they're the best. To Apple, bro.
Oh, are we hating on the old Samsung?
Yes.
Hell that's fine.
Yes. But, I mean,
don't tell our sound guy.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Apple all the way. But, I mean, they take really good pictures. And that's the thing, too. And you can edit it, too.
Yeah.
On there. But, I mean, you're right. We definitely need to get a good picture. We need to go out and play places. I think during the wintertime, because what do Minnesotans do in the wintertime? It's either ice fishing.
Or drinking. Yeah. I don't ice fish.
So you're drinking,
right?
I would rather go to a brewery and listen to a band for sure.
Exactly. Yeah. So and plus everything kind of slows down in the wintertime, right? You got the summer rush done, the fall rush done. Now we can write.
Yeah.
And just go play bars.
But to be honest with you, I got places that you guys should all think about hitting up. Two Fathoms is one of them. They already know who you are.
Yep.
In Rochester, there's another brewery called, there's a couple of them. One of them is Forager. They have bands all the time.
Okay.
I don't know. They're probably not into rock, but you never know. Thesis is also in Rochester. You should hit them up. There's got to be places in La Crosse as well.
There's 100. So our problem is, man, is there's so many opportunities for us to do, but we just never do it. That's our problem.
Is it because you guys are
so
three
busy.
People it's and just, you got to try to get together?
Yeah. Busy. And plus, yes, there's me, guitar, Hunter, drums, Land, singing, but we need that bass player or that extra guitarist, and we got one in the works, you know. But I think first priority is getting a bass player in and starting to make music with him, and then do all the other stuff.
Yep.
Because yes, we're good with us three, but I mean we're missing that one piece, and that would be a bass player to keep that rhythm going, you know, bumping and stuff like that.
Yep.
So, but yeah, I mean. We could play with three people. Me and Landon have talked about just him and I going to play acoustic sessions, you know, somewhere with our acoustic guitars and stuff like that.
Well, you know, and my father-in-law, he hits him with an acoustic guitar and his other buddy, I think, with an acoustic guitar and him with a microphone. And they literally get gigs all the time everywhere at breweries. And I'm like, well, if they can do that, you guys can do that too.
Oh, yeah.
And granted, your guys are going to be a little louder because he's playing acoustic guitar. It's more of the mellow stuff.
Right, yeah.
But I feel like there's a lot of opportunity for you guys. Next year, you should try to get into Good Few Days. Yeah. Even if it's night one, whatever, it doesn't matter. You got to start somewhere and get into where people can see you. And you're local, so people will come and watch you.
Right.
If you go to Rochester, like I was telling you, you're probably not going to have a whole lot of people you know come out. It's just going to be people that are there. But if you can start building your way up, start getting your way up there, and also a professional shot. And I mean professional as in, right, quote unquote, your wife takes your photo,
yeah,
in
yeah,
a nice sense, and then you build it up on Canva, and Canva's like $15 a month. And it's literally, you can make posters, you can make flyers, you can do all these kinds of things, and it makes you look so much more professional. So if someone's like, who are you? Here's who we are.
Right. Look
at my poster. And then I don't know if you guys have a website at all.
No, no.
See,
no,
like, we are on TikTok, though.
Yeah, I've been posting some stuff on TikTok for sure.
And it's got, I mean, it's got some decent views.
I got, I think I got
what, okay, we're here. What's it called? What's
TikTok? Oh, man, I need to grab my phone to find it, dude. I can't remember what it's called, dude. It's my main TikTok, but I can't remember what it's called, dude.
Where's your phone?
I'll go grab it quick.
Go grab it. Hunter and I will discuss things. Okay, so you have TikTok, and I feel like TikTok is the way that things are going these days. Yes. Because
yeah,
if you could just get hot on there with a beat, you might have a lot of success.
Yep.
As even a local band as yourself, because there's a lot of songs that aren't really on the radio that I know because of TikTok.
Exactly.
So what's the TikTok
called? Okay, so the TikTok name is Band_2019. I made it because we didn't know our name yet. But yeah, we got some videos on there, man. I mean, we got some videos from when I was playing at the Battle of the Bands. We got one of our originals had 4,300 views. So
that's good. That's more than what I get.
Yeah,
I have a podcast for almost a year, almost.
Yeah, so I mean, we try to get it out there, man. But it's me personally. I wish it was like the old days where you'd go play places and people would, you know, see you and then keep on coming to see you, yeah, and then you get famous that way, you know what I'm saying, rather than
you guys are old school.
We are, man.
You guys are old at heart.
Yes,
I love it. That's kind of cool,
though. I think it has to do with like our parents being so old too, because like
my parents are
pretty old, and like we were raised in that environment where it was just like everything was old school, and the music was old school, all the technology we had was old school, so it was like, you know, we were just raised that way. So, like, I feel like it has a lot to do with, like, us as people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's how it used to be. You had, right, to follow a band, and then you had to wait until their album came out, and then you had to go buy it at a store.
Exactly.
You had to walk into a store.
And I feel like that's more meaningful with the music, too, because, you know, you're wanting to hear the music so bad that you wait in line or you'd wait till that comes out. But now you can just go on your phone and, you know, get a notification that it's coming out and just download it to your phone or listen to it for free. Yeah.
And I remember movies are the same way. I remember when I was younger, American Pie 2 came out and everyone stood in line. And yeah, Fast and the Furious 2 came out,
oh, yeah,
and you had to get in line to hope to get in.
Yep.
It's not, yep, like that anymore. Now it's coming to streaming to your,
yep,
you can literally buy it at your house. Now, don't get me wrong, I love that. And I do love being able to download someone's album without having to go to the store, wait, you know, go through all that. That's awesome. So I think you got to find a balance for you guys,
right,
because I love watching live music too, don't get me wrong, and I think you guys could find many places within our Winona community to start yourself off and then keep building up. But I think you guys need to do one song on Spotify, Apple Music. That'd be so sick.
And you know, like if I took like, I'm going to say like 4 hours out of the day, I could get our songs and perfect them to be almost, you know, studio sound.
Yeah.
If I took the time to it. But like, I mean, like I said, when I was in high school, man, we had a project and I had to, I had to do this project and I chose to write a music album. And I used GarageBand. I recorded the drums, guitar, bass, and singing all myself. And we tried to do it before, but it was like, with us three, it took like 2 hours, but in reality it should have took way longer than that to write one song.
So when you're talking about you had a music project in high school, what does that mean? Did you,
so
you said you had to write an album? What, yeah, is that,
okay,
like,
so
you wrote songs or you just,
so it was in Shannon Bouch's class.
Okay.
It was for English and literature, which is crazy because, you know, but it was called the 20-time project, so we could pick whatever we wanted to, and we just had to like document our process and write like this presentation saying like how we succeeded or how we didn't succeed. And so I chose like something I was passionate about was music, and I wrote an album, and I got a D+ on it.
A D+?
A D+ on it.
Oh, goodness.
Yep, I was kind of mad, but I mean, the album's still out there. It's on SoundCloud, so.
It's on SoundCloud.
It's
okay.
On SoundCloud.
So you actually wrote an album.
I did, yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if that meant like you had a type of a document, like this is what I would do. This is what it would look like. This is what, you know.
No, I physically did it. It is on SoundCloud.
That's cool.
Then I wrote a second album, which is also on SoundCloud, yeah. Too.
Man, I really hope you guys figure out a way to come up with the funds to make your own song and then go from there. Because I think if you had a professional sounding song, let's just say you wanted to, you say, hey, guys, this is our band. We want a gig here. Check out this. And you send them to this and you're like, oh, okay, this is the band.
Yeah.
Oh, a professional song. That's pretty sick. I mean, like that to me, that's just one way of getting your foot in the door is having a professional song.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, if someone threw a professional something at me, I'd be like, wait a second. These guys took the time to do this. Mm-hmm. And I got to listen to this because they took the time and money and effort to make a song, record it and do all that. You know, I got to respect to that. I mean, what I'm doing here, it literally is just recording on an app and then it's just putting it, you know, putting the audio to these things. And then obviously with this, it's just meshing up the video and the audio together and putting it on YouTube. I don't have to go to a sound booth and do everything.
Right.
So I think if you guys did that, I'm like, I would be like, oh, wait, these guys have a professional song. I need to listen to that real quick because it takes some time and some effort to do all that. So I hope you guys consider that as the Dying Breed band and you guys have original songs. I think that's even the better part of all of this is you guys have professional songs. Yeah, I mean, obviously you're doing some covers, you said.
Yeah.
Put a little spin on them.
Yeah, we make them our own. We definitely make them our own for sure.
But having your own, how many original songs do you have, do you know?
Oh,
I bet you at least eight.
Oh, dude, we got like 30. 30 originals sure. I got videos
these are at two different
dude, stories. No, I got videos on my phone. I got videos on my phone from like 2021, so 3 years ago.
I guess
ago.
You're thinking back that far.
Okay. Yeah.
We got over 30 original songs
but
for sure.
There is one cover that we will always cover, and it's Can't You See by Marshall Tucker Band, because that is the first song that Landon sang with Dalton and I playing guitar. And that song will always be a place, I think, in all of our hearts, and we will always cover that song. That'll be the one cover we'll do.
Yeah.
If we get famous, whatever, we play gigs, we will always cover that song.
Can't You See?
In the set list.
Can't You See by Marshall Tucker Band?
Yep.
I got to listen to that. And I probably even know it by now. I don't even know. Yeah. But I probably just didn't know the person or the name of the song.
Can't You See? Can't You See?
Yeah.
What that woman has been doing to me. Yeah, he knows it over there.
You've heard it.
The audio guy's just jamming away, old Curtis. He's jamming over there. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's a good song. That one will be, and then probably the one we played, Nemo.
Yang, whatever it is.
Yang, whatever it's called, whatever Landon calls it.
Yeah, it's his decision. He's the singer, so he chooses the type of songs.
Well, guys, as we're wrapping down, wrapping up with the podcast, is there some things that people should know about you guys or the band Dying Breed? Is there something other you want to finish up with?
I'll say my thing.
I mean, you know, we're a typical garage band. I mean, I think just with a little more kick to it, there's a reason why we're doing it. God has a plan. But you know, if we were going to give up, we would have gave up a long time ago, but we just keep going. I don't know what it is, but there's a fire within us. But I think it's God's plan for us to get out there and to play music, try to bring back the old school rock and roll.
Yes.
Like Led Zeppelin and, you know, the Doors and stuff like that. The stuff that takes true talent, you know, to sit down, record and write ballads and, you know, from bringing it from your head to the instrument.
Yeah.
I think that's magical. I mean, if we're getting out and about, I mean, just come support us. I mean, we'll try to play a kick-ass show.
Yeah, I love that. So. Dalton?
Yeah, so Hunter's saying it's God's plan. All three of us, we're very religious people. You know, we take our faith seriously, and we know all our songs we write and stuff like that, and my singer is a really big Christian, and a lot of his music and his lyrics are, you know, not very you know, brass tacks of like Christianity, but like a lot of his lyrics are talking about struggling with himself and faith and all this stuff, and it's just real problems. So his lyrics are amazing. Like, I've never seen anybody write such good poetry, I'd call it, because I mean it's, when I look at his lyrics, man, I think, I don't even know how he came up with that. And then we look at other bands, other famous bands, other musicians, I'm like, there's no one that is writing this kind of stuff. So in the back of my head, I'm like, dude, if he's writing this kind of music, these lyrics, and we're writing his music to it, I don't know how you could not get somewhere writing this kind of stuff, because I feel like a lot of people could relate to it.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome, you guys. I mean, Dying Breed, I would agree. The music you guys are playing is not something you hear much anymore. Mm-hmm. So the name that you guys have finally agreed upon,
yep.
is an awesome name, I think, and that is great. Now, if people want to find you, do you have a Facebook page or a website or anything like
that? It'd be TikTok, man.
TikTok.
TikTok. It would be band_2019 is my TikTok that I post all our music on there. And so if you want to get a hold of us or whatever to play somewhere, DM me on TikTok. There you go.
Perfect. All right. Well, this has been another edition of Brews and Crews, and I also have to shout out Fifth Street Liquor.
Let's go.
Thank you for getting us some Buffalo Trace. Dalton is appreciating it. I mean, look at his face. He is just appreciating
it. It's got me a little buzz. I'm not going to lie.
I didn't realize how expensive, or not expensive, how popular this was.
Yeah, man.
But, I mean, we boshed off half bottle.
Yeah, it's almost gone. I'm not going to lie.
It's almost gone.
I looked at it earlier, and I was like, damn,
he got it. Yeah. He got this for me. So yeah, and it's been a pleasure having you guys on here. I wish your lead singer could be here, but he couldn't be, and that's okay. You guys are doing your band justice just by being here. Sure. I want to see you guys get gigs. I want to see you guys around town or outside of Winona too.
Yeah.
But I want to see that single. I want to see a single of some sort in some time. And I hope that happens within the next year. I think it'd be really cool because you guys have original songs, and I appreciate original songs, because I remember I saw your eyes light up when I said, I love it when I hear more lyrics of a verse than I hear choruses.
Yep.
A chorus is like, yeah, you can put something catchy together, but having that verse 1, 2, 3, or 4 even.
Yeah.
I appreciate that kind of stuff. So I think you guys are doing a fantastic job. I only wish you guys the best of luck. And again, shout out to Fifth Street Liquor for hooking us up with the Buffalo Trace.
Yes, sir.
And if you guys want to hear this on audio, you can listen to Spotify, Apple, Amazon, iHeart, or if you want to see what these crazy guys look like, especially the guy with long hair over there, Hunter and I, we have fantastic haircuts right now.
Dude.
If you want to watch us, you can go on YouTube and actually watch the podcast, but otherwise, you can listen to me on all the major streaming platforms, and this has been another edition of Brews and Crews. We want to thank the band of Dying Breed for being here, and I also want to give them a big cheers.
Oh, dude, I'm empty, bro.
It's okay.
That's good. That's all right. Let's go.
Got all tuned out.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.